Connection is a co-production of Ave Maria Radio and EWTN Radio and carried across the EWTN Global Catholic Radio Network.
Welcome to Catholic Connection with Teresa Tomeo, keeping you connected to your faith and your world. Teresa tackles the issues of faith and culture, the pro-life message, and media awareness. And now, here's Teresa Tomeo.
And it's a Thursday morning, and it's Thursday, January 24th, 2024th. Getting ahead of myself, moving into the weekend. I guess that's a Freudian slip. Anyway, it is a Thursday, January 21st, 2021. Hope you're having a blessed day. And I do want to let you know, we had a very interesting incident in the first hour of our show, and I'm sharing this for you because I want to let you know what's coming up because of that incident. So I'm doing this interview with my dear friend, Monsignor Charles Kosanke from the Archdiocese of Detroit, an amazing witness. He's been involved in Marriage Encounter. He is involved in all kinds of different charitable organizations. He is a chaplain for Legatus. He's just a great guy, and he's having a real impact in Southwest Detroit. He is a pastor of several parishes there, mainly this beautiful new basilica. Well, the church has been around forever, but it's newly named a basilica. And he was actually on in our national hour, you may recall, late last year, talking about beautiful St. Anne's in Detroit. So he's having such an impact, not only in the parish, but in the southwestern part of the city, that a secular magazine called Our Detroit came to him, and he thought they were going to do an article on the parish, but turns out, in addition to talking about the parish, they wanted to talk about the great work that he was doing in the community and the impact that he's having. So he was supposed to be on with us at 8:35 Eastern in the first hour of my show, but all of a sudden, in the middle of the interview, this weird thing happened that has never happened before. I don't even know how to describe it, but I'm just telling you this because this is why we're going to, after the news this morning, have a rerun so we can figure out the technical difficulties. And if we can come back to you live in this hour, we will. Otherwise, we'll be sharing an older version of Catholic Connection. So I just want to put that out there. Now, we have scheduled for today Father Timothy Gallagher, and he is a wonderful teacher and preacher and retreat leader, author of 7 best-selling books on theology and the spirituality of Ignatius of Loyola, served for 10 years as a provincial superior of his Catholic religious organization, the Oblates of the Virgin Mary. And his latest book is just wonderful. It's published from our friends, by our friends at Sophia, sophiainstitute.com, A Biblical Way of Praying the Mass. And so we have him scheduled for 15 minutes past the hour. And also was really looking forward to talking with Dr. Monica Miller, a pro-life warrior who's been on the front lines of the pro-life battle for decades. They are going to have a peaceful picket and a prayer event in D.C. next week at the Planned Parenthood Mega Abortion Center in our nation's capital. She was scheduled to join us at 39 minutes past the hour. Now, hopefully, if we get the bugs worked out, we can have the live program, but I just wanted to be honest with you and let you know what's coming up, okay? Hey, it's live radio. Things happen. It'll all work out. We'll get it figured out. But in the meantime, we do have the news for you to let you know what's going on in and around the world on this Thursday morning. So let's do that. Let's pray to, St. Maximian Kolbe, ask for his intercession, St. John Paul II, and all the media saints to clear up the technical difficulties. In the meantime, here's the news. In an unprecedented move, Cardinal Blaise Cupich, the Archbishop of Chicago, using Twitter yesterday to issue a scathing criticism of the United States Conference of Catholic Bishops' official statement on the inauguration of Joe Biden. In his 4-part Twitter thread yesterday, Catholic news agency reporting, Cardinal Cupich saying that, quote, the U.S. Conference of Catholic Bishops issued an ill-considered statement on the day of President Biden's inauguration, end quote. The overt criticism of the USCCB came after Cupich published a separate statement on his website that did not include these critiques, the critiques that they were talking about in terms of abortion and whatnot. Also, following a flurry of public reactions from his fellow bishops supporting the statement, which was very pro-life. Now, 3 different bishops speaking on background to the Catholic news agency said they were aware that Cardinal Cupich wanted a more supportive, clearly pro-Biden statement, and that he spent most of Wednesday trying to get the support of other bishops to come up with an alternative statement. The statement eventually released was the original from Archbishop Gomez of Los Angeles, president of the USCCB. Gomez stressing, quote, the bishop's job is not to be political, but to preach the truth. He said, well, there are numerous issues of concern to the bishops' conference. Abortion is the preeminent issue that cannot be ignored. Gomez going on to say, Abortion is a direct attack on the life that also wounds the woman and undermines the family. It is not only a private matter, it raises troubling and fundamental questions of fraternity, solidarity, and inclusion in the human community. He went on to say it's a matter of social justice. We cannot ignore the reality that abortion rates are much higher among the poor and minorities, and that the procedure is regularly used to eliminate children who will be born with disabilities. Rather than impose further expansions of abortion and contraception, as he has promised, Gomez said he's hopeful the new president and his administration will work with the church and others of goodwill. After initially withholding from publication a prepared statement, the U.S. Conference of Catholic Bishops eventually released the statement early Wednesday afternoon. Meanwhile, the Archbishop of San Francisco on Wednesday, Archbishop Corleone, stating his support for the U.S. Bishops Conference president, noting areas of collaboration and concern as well with the incoming president, and the head of the Knights of Columbus also expressing gratitude for what he called the balanced and prophetic statement issued by the USCCB. Supreme Knight Carl Anderson saying yesterday, the Knights are grateful to Archbishop Gomez and the leadership of the USCCB for their balanced and prophetic statements about the teachings of our church in relation to the issues that we face in our country. In its fidelity to the gospel, the church, Anderson said, must always promote unity rooted in truth. We commend the Archbishop's hope for working with the new administration and support his clear statement regarding the defense of all vulnerable people and the preeminent priority of the defense of the unborn. House Speaker Nancy Pelosi accusing pro-lifers of putting their opposition to abortion over the tenets of democracy in a recent appearance on former Senator Hillary Clinton's podcast. Catholic News Agency explaining Pelosi claiming that support for Trump by pro-life religious voters is an issue that gives her great grief as a Catholic. When Clinton ran against Trump back in 2016, the Democratic Party platform, noted for its extreme pro-abortion stance, platform included for the first time a call to repeal the Hyde Amendment, which prevents the use of tax money to pay for elective abortions. President Biden, meanwhile, moving quickly to push the agenda of the LGBT community. Just hours into his administration yesterday, the Biden White House website started allowing users to choose their pronouns. The website contact form now allows individuals to select from a list that includes she, her, he, him, they, them, other, or prefer not to share. The website changes are part of Biden's push for what he says is a more inclusive administration. Texas Attorney General Ken Paxton saying he plans to do whatever he can to counter Biden administration policies he considers lawless. Paxton tweeting a message yesterday to congratulate the president, but then he also said he's promising Texans will challenge the unconstitutional and illegal actions he expects of the Biden White House and push back against what he called federal overreach that infringes on residents of Texas and their rights. In Florida, meanwhile, a crowd of people lining the roads leading to Donald Trump's Mar-a-Lago estate to welcome him home. West Palm Beach's Tom Burgess crediting the president with his freedom because he said when Trump signed the First Step Act in 2019, it ensured his release from prison 6 years earlier. And a woman from Boca Raton, Florida, said she was part of the procession because she told the Sun Sentinel for 4 years she felt she was listened to and heard. Mike Pence going from 1600 Pennsylvania Avenue to Columbus, Indiana. The now former vice president yesterday saying he's moving back to Indiana after finishing his term as vice president.
Well, we don't know what the future holds. We know who holds the future. And I'm absolutely confident that the best days for this one nation under God, indivisible, with liberty and justice for all, are yet to come.
He flew back to Indiana after Joe Biden took the oath of office yesterday, the former VP splitting tie between D.C. and Indiana for the next few months, but he intends to move home permanently later this summer. Senator Paul Rand urging his fellow Republicans not to support convicting President Trump during his Senate impeachment trial.
My fear is that if Republicans, particularly Republican leadership, goes along with this impeachment, they'll destroy the party.
Rand Paul, the Kentucky Republican, speaking to Fox News yesterday, calling the impeachment a hugely partisan exercise from the Democrats, since the Republicans who go along with it destroy the party because Trump brought a lot of people to it. Pope Francis sending a message to the president, urging him to be a bringer of peace and reconciliation to the U.S. and to the whole world. He said at a time when the grave crises facing our human family call for far-sighted and united responses, he's praying that Biden's decisions will be guided by a concern for building a society marked by authentic justice and freedom, together with unfailing respect for the rights and dignity of every person, especially the poor, the vulnerable, and those who have no voice. Pope Francis, meanwhile, also sending a telegram of condolence, as Devin Watkins reports from the Vatican, to the victims of an explosion in the Spanish city of Madrid, which killed four people, including a local Catholic priest.
Many residents in Calle de Toledo in Madrid were having lunch on Wednesday when a massive explosion rocked the area. Authorities in the Spanish capital said the blast was likely caused by a gas leak on the upper stories of a building owned by the Catholic Church. Three people died when the top five stories of the building blew apart. A Catholic priest was pulled from the rubble and taken to hospital. Father Ruben Perez Ayala, age 36, died from his wounds early Thursday morning. The other three victims included a local electrician who was working on the building's boiler, an 85-year-old Spanish woman, and a Bulgarian citizen. 11 others were injured in the blast. Pope Francis sent a telegram late Wednesday to the Cardinal Archbishop of Madrid, Carlos Osoro Sierra, to express his sorrow. In the message, the Pope voiced his closeness and affection as the Archdiocese mourns. Pope Francis said he is praying for the victims, the injured, and their families. He also commends the victims in a special way to God's mercy and prays for their eternal repose. And the Pope entrusted all those affected to the intercession of Our Lady of Almudena, the patroness of Madrid. The building destroyed in the blast was owned by the local parish church of Our Lady of the Dove. It was part of a complex used for residential training of priests and also provided meals for the homeless. The late Father Ruben, who died in hospital, served as a priest at the parish. His brother, Father Pablo, also a diocesan priest, administered the sacrament of the anointing of the sick or the last rites to Father Ruben at his hospital bedside. Cardinal Osoro, who ordained Father Ruben in June 2020, also expressed his sorrow in a tweet and thanked him for his life given in service of Christ and the Church.
It's 12 minutes past the hour. We're going to take a quick break, and we are going to revisit an interview we did with our friend Father Robert Spitzer on his new book. I believe it was part two of Christ versus Sainted in Our Everyday Lives. Very apropos for what's going on in our world. We'll be right back.
This Ave Maria program is brought to you in part by the nonprofit CMF Curo. Your search for affordable health care stops here. Since 2014, CMF Curo has provided Catholics with affordable health care sharing that goes beyond insurance. With programs that cost less than many COBRA and ACA-sponsored plans, CMF Curo is a Catholic health sharing experience that enables you to live fully alive while saving money. Call 1-833-GET-CURO to find affordable Catholic health care now. That's 1-833-GET-CURO.
Christ is the answer, with Father John Ricardo.
I tell oftentimes an experience that I had at Divine Child when I was a young priest, 1 year ordained. First time I ever really saw the power of the Blessed Sacrament. And we simply exposed the Blessed Sacrament at the end of Mass one night. I encouraged people. I said, you know what, we've been in the habit of praying over people after Mass. I said, we're not going to do that this week. I'm just going to invite people to come on up and pray if they want to pray. And I put the Blessed Sacrament on the altar. I kneeled down. As I kneeled down, the church is in the sanctuary, the whole church. And as I'm looking at this, and I'm looking at the people there, and I'm looking at Jesus under the appearance of bread there, I saw the Lord standing on the altar. And he's just standing there looking out at all the people. And then at a certain point, he turned towards me, and he just bowed. And he says, don't you see how easy this is? You don't have to do anything. You just have to put me out. You put me out, and I will work.
People ask how they can care for older family members who can't fully care for themselves. One answer is Visiting Angels, America's choice in senior home care. Visiting Angels assists adults nationwide with 600 locations to continue living at home and not have to move into a nursing home. Their caregivers provide assistance in hygiene, meals, and light housework. Services are provided up to 24 hours per day, and you can select your caregiver before service begins. More information, including franchise opportunities, is on the web at visitingangels.com.
Welcome back. So excited to have another long session with the one, the only, Father Robert Spitzer. Really needs no introduction. He's an amazing teacher, speaker, theologian, and of course, Father Spitzer's Universe, one of the most popular TV shows on EWTN. Really enjoy that program, and that's why I like to have Father on, to kind of even dig more deeply into what he talks about on that show. He takes questions from you, the viewers, and from radio listeners, and we'll do the same thing today. If you have a question, we're kind of taking a look at where we are in our world as it relates to what he says in his profound book, the latest book, Christ versus Satan in Our Daily Lives, A Cosmic Struggle Between Good and Evil. Father, great to have you back on. Thanks for your time, and Happy New Year to you.
Thank you, Teresa. Thank you for having me.
I think it's always interesting to take a look at the readings. I always love to do the readings daily. I got into that habit a long time ago, and so I'm looking at the reading today, which I think is very significant, 1 John chapter 3. Beloved, we receive from him whatever we ask, because we keep his commandments and do what pleases him. And his commandment is this: we should believe in the name of his Son, Jesus Christ, and love one another just as he commanded us. Those who keep his commandments remain in him and he in them. And the way we know that he remains in us is from the Spirit whom he gave us. Beloved, do not trust every spirit, but test the spirits to see whether they belong to God, because many false prophets have gone out into the world. This is how you can know the Spirit of God. Every spirit that acknowledges Jesus Christ comes in the flesh belongs to God, and every spirit that does not acknowledge Jesus does not belong to God. This is the spirit of the Antichrist, who, as you heard, is to come, but in fact is already in the world. You belong to God, children, and you have conquered them, for the one who is in you is greater than the one who is in the world. They belong to the world. Accordingly, their teachings belong to the world, and the world listens to them. We belong to God, and anyone who knows God listens to us, while anyone who does not belong to God refuses to hear us. This is how we know the spirit of truth and the spirit of deceit. Well, Father, I can't think of a better reading to start out our discussion this morning. Wow, your thoughts.
Well, my thoughts are identical. I have to tell you, I the spirit of the Antichrist, need I say more? Of course, that is diabolical indeed. And the second thing, of course, is if we just look around us, even at the very beginning of the new year, we can see that there is the logic of the world and the logic of God. We can see the logic that's based on the teaching and the commandments of Jesus and those that are directed against it. And I'm not saying that there's spiritual combat everywhere. Obviously, there's a lot of confusion out there as well. There are a lot of people who are taken in, which is precisely why St. John tells us, test the spirit. In other words, it is incumbent upon us to know what is of God and what is of that other spirit, namely the evil spirit. And so, yeah, what more appropriate reading could you have except test the spirits? Because, boy, I'll tell you, there is so much deceit out there, and there is so much Antichrist out there. It's nothing more appropriate can I think of to begin our official new year here.
When we talk about the cosmic struggle between good and evil, and we talk about what St. John is telling us in this first reading, how do we test the spirits? What is of God and what is not of God? When you live in a post-Christian culture as we do, so many people are confused and have accepted what the world says about God and Jesus, and everything is fine, everything is wonderful, God is love, and he wants everybody to be happy. So how do we test spirits?
Yeah, I would say there's two things of real importance. The first is the one that St. John mentions, and that is you have to look at what the teachings of Christ are. You have to take them very seriously without trying to kind of reinterpret them in light of the world, and take those commandments in taking them seriously, compare what the world is saying to what Jesus is saying about the moral life. And I can clearly tell you there are plenty of contradictions out there that should be alarming us already. And what John is saying is a very simple rule. He's saying, if you are listening to teachings which directly contradict the moral teaching of Jesus or the doctrinal teaching of Jesus, it is not of God. It is of the spirit of the Antichrist, which is the spirit of evil. And that's what he's trying to say. That rule number one is, look at the teachings of Jesus, take them seriously, don't reinterpret them and just make a simple comparison. Is this of Jesus or is this of anti-Jesus, anti-Christ, the devil? The second thing I think we can do for ourselves, too, is to look at the effects. What are the effects of following, you know, the teaching that looks like it's against Jesus? And if we are seeing, and we judge a tree by its fruit, right? We make sure that good fruit is coming and not bad fruit. If we're seeing coming out of, the tree, fruit that is confusion, fruit that is separating us from God, fruit that is undermining our belief, fruit that is undermining our moral conduct, fruit that is undermining the capacity for love as Jesus has defined it, that unselfish and charitable love, a fruit that is causing friction between, you know, people throughout the world of the same religion, of different religions. If we are seeing the fruit of division and even the fruit of real hatred within that division, no, for sure, what Jesus said, this is not of him, this is of the Spirit against him, namely the evil spirit. So these two things are just good, hard, and fast rules, and we have to remember in that first rule, do not reinterpret what Jesus is saying to fit the modern context. You have to interpret the modern context in terms of what Jesus is saying. He's God. The modern context, these are like every fad. They come, they go, and they are very manipulable by the evil spirit. So don't believe the modern interpretation. Believe, first of all, the perennial, the enduring word of God, and then interpret the modern context, the modern world, in terms of it, not vice versa. If we can remember those things, we'll have a pretty good idea if Jesus is doing the speaking or the evil spirit is doing the speaking.
Talking with Father Robert Spitzer, his latest book, Christ versus Satan in Our Daily Lives, A Cosmic Struggle Between Good and Evil, published by our friends at Ignatius Press. It's part of a trilogy, and we'll explain that a little bit later in the program. Father, it's very troubling when you see people who call themselves, identify themselves as Catholic or more specifically, or Christian or more specifically Catholic. And then you have, for example, Nancy Pelosi, who was just chosen again as the House Speaker, nearly beating out Kevin McCarthy, where she introduced this package that is going to try and eliminate. It's a 45-page package that was introduced in Congress. Apparently, it's going to be voted on today, stripping all mention of gender-specific pronouns and terms such as man, woman, mother, and son. Now, she calls herself a Catholic. As Catholics, we believe that the dignity of the human person is based on being made in the image and likeness of God, male and female. But this can be confusing for people if they're not familiar with the teachings of the church and then how someone can claim to be Catholic all day long and then do things like this consistently.
Yeah, well, there it is. I mean, if there are distinctions in the world, and we have to be truthful to them. I mean, there are different ways of doing things, interpreting things. And these have ramifications on our moral lives. They have ramifications on our social lives. They have ramifications on our view of love, particularly our view of love within marriage, our view of sexuality, but also our view of love within the society, how we are to treat one another, that caritas, that agape that Jesus has told us about. And so, you know, these things are radically important. If you don't observe distinctions that have a ground in reality, distinctions particularly that affect the way we treat one another, the way we treat sexuality, the way we treat, the commandments that the Lord has given us, and you just, wash over these distinctions as if they have no sense whatsoever in the world around us, then I can assure you what is going to happen is that we're going to misinterpret what Jesus says. We're going to misapply what Jesus says, and that means trouble. That means we're going to move away from God, move toward the evil spirit. We're going to move away from love and turn towards the hatred that leads to a real division within our society. But even worse, division within our families, division within, the household, division between parents and children, division between mother and son, etc. And so I think, all of these sophistries, all of these ways that they kind of look true at first. Okay, who can be against trying to be, more equitable among genders? I mean, nobody can be against this. Of course we want gender equity. At the very same time, that doesn't mean that we should be treating each gender as if they are the same.
Same,
as if
right.
they're identical. It's a very different thing, and it's not even a subtle sophistry, but it is definitely a grotesque sophistry, and the devil has gotten away with it, as usual, by confusing equity with identity.
Father, we have to take a break. Hang on to that thought. We'll pick it up on the other side. Father Robert Spitzer joining us. His latest book, Christ versus Satan in Our Daily Lives. From Ignatius, stay tuned.
Bishop Robert Barron on the priesthood.
Vatican II teaches that every baptized person is a participant in the threefold office of Jesus, which is priest, prophet, and king. So as priest, Christ is a sanctifier. He effects a reconciliation between divinity and humanity, right, by his great sacrifice on the cross. Every baptized person does indeed participate in that, in the measure that we all have that calling to reconcile divinity and humanity, to bring God to people and people to God. That's true of every baptized person. Vatican II further specifies that the ordained priesthood is different, not only in degree, but in kind. And it has to do with the identification between the ordained priest, I think, and the Mass, and a unique relationship to the sacraments. Every baptized person has a task of reconciling divinity and humanity. The ordained priest does it in this sort of heightened sacramental and Eucharistic way.
EWTN. Live truth. Live Catholic.
What makes an act moral or immoral? The Catechism of the Catholic Church lays out specific criteria for us to follow. When he acts deliberately, man is, so to speak, the father of his acts. Acts freely chosen can be morally evaluated as either good or evil. The sources on which the morality of an act are determined are three. 1, the object chosen. 2, the intent of the act. 3, the circumstances surrounding the act. To be moral, the object of the act itself must be good and the intention pure. The circumstances are secondary to the first two criteria. They can increase or diminish the morality of the act. For instance, stealing a candy bar is wrong, but far less evil than robbing a bank. Intent and circumstance, however, cannot change the moral quality of the act itself. The end does not justify the means. This is Peggy Stanton, and this has been the Order of Malta's Minute with the Catechism.
Welcome back, Catholic Connection. 28 minutes past the hour. The book is Christ versus Satan in Our Daily Lives, A Cosmic Struggle Between Good and Evil. Speaking of which, and I'm joking around with Father during the break because we're having a little bit of a technical issue. There's a little bit of clicking in the phone. We're hoping that St. Maximilian Kolbe and all the media saints will help clear that up so we can have the rest of the conversation without any interruption with technology. And Father is with us. And Father, this book is part of a trilogy. Explain the trilogy, if you will, before we get back into our conversation of what's happening in the culture right now.
Right. So the trilogy is really about the cosmic struggle between good and evil. And the first book, this is the one, Christ versus Satan in Our Daily Lives, is to just give a sense of what is going on in the culture, to expose the real divisions that have taken place and what a grip the evil spirit has gotten on our culture. Even though we are convinced that we are making progress, not we, but a lot of young people and middle-aged people are convinced that progress is being made, we are going in precisely the opposite direction. So this book was intended to just uncover it all, but to say in the same breath, the evil spirit's not in charge. If we put our faith in Jesus, he will just roll over the evil spirit. I mean, all the progress that the evil spirit thinks he has made, they're just going to simply undo in a few moments. If we put our faith in him and go back to his teaching, go back to his church, go back to the sacraments, get back to the sacrament of reconciliation and the Eucharist in particular, and then, you know, if we try to proceed forward, we can reverse everything. But I can assure you of one thing, that if we don't acknowledge that there is a problem here, if we don't acknowledge that we have been listening to the evil spirit who has been coming to us, appearing as an angel of light, if you know, in other words, appearing like a good spirit, but in point of fact is indeed a very evil spirit, if we don't acknowledge the fact that we have been taken in systematically, one sophistry after the next, if we do not acknowledge that we have to test the spirits, if we don't do this, we are going to literally see a cultural degradation and a darkness that is going to overcome this culture. It'll be gradual, and that's the, you know, that why rush? He's now, you know, in the catbird seat. I mean, he's basically, you know, got this kind of overwhelming sway within the culture. But as I said, a little bit of faith, a little bit of turning back and going to the teachings of Jesus, turning back and getting back to the church and reconnected with the church, serious religion and prayer can turn this around. And so we should always have faith. We should not give up, but we just have to get to our friends. We have to talk to them and say, okay, this is real. We have to acknowledge. Volume 2 is really, it's kind of a little catechism on how do you thwart the devil at every turn in your personal life, in your family life, and in the culture and community in which we exist. What can we do? What's the recipe? So it talks about what we call spiritual or religious conversion and moral conversion, and it gives a whole set of little rules on, well, how do you get your prayer life going? That's what religious or spiritual conversion is all about. How do we get our sacramental life going, make it more meaningful? And then with respect to moral conversion, how can we better resist temptation? How can we get this sense of nobility within us that wants to just do what we can for the Lord who loves us and whom we love in return because he has just given us everything? How can we just get that sense of noble ideals transferred from our, you know, relationship with the Lord right into our moral lives so that we just don't want to offend him in any way? So how do we resist temptation better? How do we become the new man, is what St. Paul would call it, the new human being, the new self, that will, you know, not be so radically affected by sin and by the temptations of the evil spirit, but have that almost, you know, ability, as Ephesians 6:12 and following says to us, right? That, you know, just, you know, you know, take these various characteristics, these disciplines that I'm telling you about, right? That, you know, prayer and the reading of the scriptures and the sacraments. How do we take these things and how do we put it into our lives so we can arm ourselves against the powers of the principalities, the powers of evil that, you know, threaten us? You know, truly, arrows just kind of coming at us, coming at you, Teresa, all the time, mm-hmm. right? You know,
well, all of us on the front lines, I think. Anybody who's out there trying to preach the gospel and the truth of the faith, whether there's someone like you, Father Spitzer, you're on TV, radio, you write books, mm-hmm. and same with me, but, you know, deacons and priests and people who are in ministry in general, if we are trying to do what we know is to preach the truth, we're under attack, big time.
Yeah. Oh, no, and that's you know, no doubt what's going on. And so the third volume, well, that's really about the moral teaching of the Catholic Church, called the Moral Wisdom of the Catholic Church, A Defense of Her Controversial Moral Doctrines. Now, the reason I wrote that third book was because, as you know, there are about 12 controversial doctrines. There's doctrines that are concerned with premarital sex and cohabitation, doctrines concerned with homosexual lifestyle, doctrines concerned with pornography. You know, but people call it, these are victimless sins. That's what they're called in the culture. They're remade so that they look good. So what I did in that third volume is I went through and I just took every sociological study, not done by the church,
right,
not done by, you know, Bob Spitzer, anything like that, but rather done by secular, good academic studies. And I just went through and I showed if you don't follow the church's teaching in these 12 areas, if you're just going to let abortion go, you're just going to let homosexual lifestyle go, you're going to let gender change go, and you're going to let artificial birth control go, you're going to let euthanasia go, you're just going to let cohabitation, premarital sex go, you're just going to let it all go, and we're just going to go with the flow and go with the culture, here is what you can expect to find: significantly higher rates of depression, significantly higher rates of anxiety, significantly higher rates of substance abuse. See, by the way, in each and every issue, I'm not talking about...
I know, it's all there. It's all there.
Yeah.
My thing is, though, Father, and we talked about this the last time you were on, what's so frustrating to me, when I started to discover this as I was making my way back to the church and as a reporter starting to really dig in and investigate this, I was so upset with my industry for keeping this from people. It's not just the media, but they have a big, big role to play in this. But the problem is that people can be miserable, but because they don't hear about these things, they don't hear about the fallout, they're constantly told by the culture and whomever that, oh, it must be your imagination, oh, you're fine, it's no big deal, abortion is no bigger than getting, no worse than getting a tooth pulled, you shouldn't feel badly about, they don't hear the truth. And so they are constantly spinning around in misery. You've talked to, I know that you've probably heard confessions of many people who have lived a lifestyle, and when they're open up to the teachings of the church, everything changes. And yet so many people are kept from that.
Well, that's exactly it. I mean, it's just this massive conspiracy. The one good thing about the internet is you're no longer dependent upon just the major news services anymore. I mean,
thank
that's
goodness.
One good thing about EWTN, too.
Right.
I'll
absolutely.
Point out. Yeah, and so that's the first thing. The second thing is it's really hard to hide published stuff. And so it's not only accessible through the journals that they're published in, but accessible, too, through the Internet on free services where you can get the data very, very accessibly.
Father, hang on. We're going to take another break and talk more with you when we come back. Sorry to interrupt. Father Robert Spitzer discussing his latest book, Christ versus Satan in Our Daily Lives, published by Ignatius Press.
Maybe you've been hearing a lot about the need to make a spiritual communion while participating from home in a live-streamed or broadcast Mass. By asking for spiritual communion, we are acknowledging that the Holy Mass is the perfect, best way to worship God. The priest intercedes perfectly for us with God the Father because he acts in persona Christi. This is the time to see that through the priest's representation of Christ's sacrifice on Calvary, we are never separated from our Lord. Jesus, I embrace you and unite myself wholly to you.
Dr. Ray Guarendi.
What's looking back at you at age 22? What do you hope to say about that child at age 22? If you're content to say, well, the way kids are turning out nowadays, counting my blessings. Parole officer says one of the nicest children he has. Or would you rather say he's 1 in 100? Morals, compassion, seeks God. Are you prepared to be a 1 in 100 parent then? You can't parent like the bulk of parents anymore. You will supervise far higher. You will screen out toxic media sewage at a rate unlike all of your friends, perhaps your family. No guarantees as to what will be looking back at you at age 22. But you want to be able to say, I think he's 1 in 100. Then you be a 1 in 100 parent.
Call to Communion.
Through EWTN Radio, we talk to audiences all over the world. One thing I've found out is everybody in the whole world has the same set of questions. They live the same human life. They all want meaning. They all want love. They all want significance. They want forgiveness. That's the most fascinating thing to me. The same answers work wherever you are throughout the world, because we're all children of God.
Called to Communion with Dr. David Anders, this afternoon, 2 Eastern, on EWTN Radio.
Thank you. Welcome back, Catholic Connection. Having a great conversation with our friend, Father Robert Spitzer. Recognize him from his many books, from the Magis Center, and also from the great TV show with Doug Keck called Father Spitzer's Universe. I love that show, Father. You do such a good job of answering folks' questions, and it's just so interesting in terms of really how you address some very serious issues in people's lives. It's so much love and so much knowledge. I keep going over this reading. I wanted to mention, because we're talking a lot about the importance of Scripture, and what I always tell people is when you read the Word of God every day, there are times like today, and we both were like, our jaws dropped when we read the first reading, when we sat down to the readings today in light of our interview. To me, it's almost like, I always say, God, okay, you're just showing off. I mean, seriously? I mean, what reading could be more apropos for what we're discussing? But see, God speaks to us through His Word. And when we're in the Word every day, it does apply to our lives because it's alive.
Yes, indeed. And it's so true. And you can see it not only in your personal life, but you can also see how that Word extends out to our families, to our communities, and even to our society and culture in general. And it is amazing how, like the life of St. Augustine, he seems to open up the Bible at these crucial points in his life, and there's the passage.
Mm-hmm.
And he looks right at it and goes, oh, my gosh, the Lord is moving me. And it's subtle. And you think, oh, no, that's just a pure coincidence. Is it really? Is it really? Or did he just happen to turn to those two right passages in just that right way that got him right into the church? I mean, I think the Holy Spirit has much more to do with these things, and if we kind of just let go of our rationalism for a second and see the way that the hand of the Lord is working long-term in our lives, see how where he's leading, how he, he's pointing, what he's doing through the Scripture, what he's doing through the sacraments, what he's doing through the edifying things we listen to, like EWTN, right? When he's doing all these things, if we're paying attention, he is leading, and that will get us out of the darkness into light.
Father, there's so much, I think, clarity that came about. Despite all the confusing things that happened and the craziness in 2020, I think there was a lot that was revealed, especially about the secular media. If anybody thought that they were in this for fairness and objectivity, I think that's pretty much known now where they stand on various issues in the situation. And I think really what they're doing is just awful what they're doing to the public. This whole situation with the election, not to get too political, but speaking of truth, what would be wrong with examining what has happened in terms of if don't we want election integrity? And this is part of truth. Let the people see this. Let the people decide. Put the evidence out there. A lot of people are thinking, oh, it's sour grapes. It's we have to move on. But there's never been so many questions raised about any election before. There's always been voter fraud. Now some of the people on the left are saying, okay, well, yeah, it's sour grapes. So, okay, yeah, there was election fraud. Now they're saying, well, there's not enough to overturn the election. Even they are starting to admit that this was very unusual. So this week, this new year, let's bring it forward if we want the truth.
Right. I mean, there's the old expression, I may be paranoid, but that doesn't mean that people aren't out to get me.
Right.
Now, what that means is, okay, you might have sour grapes, and there may be something like that going on. However, that does not negate the reality or at least the possibility of real voter fraud on a massive scale. It requires an investigation. It requires it because if we cannot establish election integrity, our democracy will evaporate, Teresa.
Right.
And this is the main problem. So, avoiding that and trying to keep, our elections as, safe, as secure, as honest as possible in the midst of, yes, there's always going to be fraud hither and yon, but massive fraud, but right in the states where there is real what we might call close shaves, where real district by district matters, and then suddenly seeing on a massive scale things that look indeed very suspicious. I'm not saying it did in fact occur on the massive scale, but it certainly there are enough allegations to warrant a thoroughgoing investigation by people that truly have both sides you know, present and can examine what one another is doing and to try and get to the bottom of this. It seems to be rather rampant, and it happens to be in states that are really important and were very, very closely, decided in the election. They're closely, mattered in the election, the so-called swing states. And these things really need an investigation by both parties, and it has to be done by a blue ribbon commission with people on both parties making an objective investigation.
And I think we have to look at this from, everybody says, oh, you know, Catholic Church shouldn't talk about politics. Well, everything is politics. Everything is political, yeah. If you come right down to it. We talk about the issue of abortion. That's certainly political. We talk about the issue of feeding the poor. All these things that we're supposed to be concerned about if Catholics have a political element to them in our world and our society. And if we look at our country, which is a democratic republic, and what it means, how it was founded, by whom, on whom, right, on Judeo-Christian principles, and also the fact that religious freedom is at stake here. So much is at stake for all people of faith, whether they're Catholic or otherwise. And if we believe in the truth with a capital T, then this is part of this whole discussion that we're having, Father, to bring truth forward and not to be deceived and to test things, correct?
Oh, yeah. In fact, if you look at the six principles that we have, what we call the Catholic social teaching, right, CST, if you look at Catholic social teaching, take a look at the fourth principle. What is it? Participation in democracy. What could be more important than assuring election integrity within a democracy? That's right in the fourth principle. We not only have to participate, but we have to use our influence to make sure that there is honesty within elections. That's part of our social teaching. It has been since Leo XIII wrote his great encyclical Rerum Novarum, well over 100 years ago. 1891, I believe.
And all of this in bringing truth forward, what else can we do? Because people look out and they sometimes feel very overwhelmed. And I know that your books are a great guide, but what can we, some people say, I just can't make a difference. This thing is too big, whatever it is.
Well, the first thing to do is to encourage everybody around you, right? Politics starts at home. And so the main thing is first and foremost, encourage people to follow their consciences. I mean, the devil's best plan was to get people to believe that they shouldn't bring their conscience into the political domain. Well, if you don't bring it into the political domain where morals are being decided upon massively on a social scale, where are you going to bring it? I mean, you're going to say, well, I've got my conscience in my personal life, and I follow that, but I don't want my conscience to have any place within the political domain because my conscience could disagree with other people's conscience. That starts with the negative. That starts with, where do we disagree? Let's start with the positive. Where do we in our consciences agree? Let's just start there in the political domain, and you will find that we not only have don't cheat, don't steal, don't lie, don't harm people unnecessarily, particularly murdering them, do not commit adultery, right? Don't. I mean, we see the same rules again and again and again, you know, honor your father and your mother, etc. So all these things are, you know, very present. They have to go into, the political domain, and especially, thou shalt not kill. I mean, if we think that abortion, we can't bring our consciences into the abortion issue, we must bring them in. If we forsake our religion and forsake our conscience, where do you think that the moral ground will go? Where does anybody, have any illusions that these two great, pillars of our moral lives, our religious life and our conscience, if we think that those are going to go out the window and there's not going to be any effect on society, there's going to be a terrible effect on society. And the effect is, the only thing we'll have left to us is social norming. All we can do is kind of try to norm ourselves according to where we think the mainstream of the culture is.
Which and keeps changing, though, Father. The bar keeps moving.
Yeah, right. And it keeps moving down,
right.
Alas. Yeah.
There's so much that came out in 2020, I think, that we can learn from. So in addition to reading your book, what would you recommend for people listening? How can we make a difference? You said be an inspiration at home. You said politics starts at home. It's very, very true. What else can we do?
Mm-hmm. I think the first thing we can do is just take out those Ten Commandments that are set out in our wonderful catechism. So if you go to section 3 of the catechism there, part 3 of the catechism, if you go to that area and just try to read through this, if you have children who can understand the catechism or adult children, and just start looking it over and saying, what do you think is the good, that will come from this? Do you think, that Jesus really was trying to do something not to kind of regulate us and rule us, but to help us to move away from evil and get to good, to help us with social harmony and family harmony, to strengthen our families? Or do you think that he is really about anti-love? And of course, it's so clear that when you start looking at the commandments and the great rationale given for each commandment in the catechism, just looking through that and just saying, this is oriented toward our good, toward our family's good, toward our unity, toward social unity. This is oriented toward the good, not towards evil. Somebody has just sold me a bill of goods. If we can just get that one thing out in our family, watch out for the deceits. Look at the rationale for why these things are good. And if you want real backup, just wait until June when the third volume of this trilogy comes out, and I can show you why every one of those teachings that the culture, certain parts of popular culture have tried to undermine, every last one of them is vital to maintaining not just our spiritual health, though certainly that, not just toward moving away from the evil spirit and moving toward the spirit of eternal life and joy, but also the third part, your emotional health, the depression, the anxiety, the substance abuse, the suicides, the homicides. We kind of put an end to it. And the only way to put an end to it is to go back to Jesus' social, moral and social teaching. We've got to go back to what he tells us is the proper way, not only to be in a marriage, but to honor one another, to love one another as he has loved us, to do the good for others that we would want done to us. This is the only way we're going to be able to make it out of the darkness of evil into the light, not just for our emotional life here on this earth, but for our eternal life. It's going to make everything in this earth look like nothing less than nothing more than a blip on a radar screen, certainly nothing more than that. And so the point I'm trying to get to is everything depends on this. Just being honest when we read those commandments and then saying, oh my gosh, all this gobbledygook, all this sophistry that has been handed out to us, all of these attempts to undermine marriage, to undermine religion, to undermine God, to undermine the sexuality, to undermine even the dignity and integrity of every single human life from conception to natural end. Every single one of these attempts to do so is nothing more than evil, 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 which will affect our culture, affect our families, affect ourselves emotionally, and affect ourselves ultimately spiritually, ultimately eternally. Yeah. And if we can get that into our heads, cast off the sophistries just in our household, just do that. Just, you don't have to come on with great guns on every issue. All you got to do is say, let's read the commandments. Let's go to our part 3 of the catechism. Let's just see if this makes any sense in terms of what we're going to live like, what our emotional lives are going to be like, our marriages are going to be like. Kids, let's just sit down for a second and talk this over. Is Jesus really the truth? Yep. If he is the truth, then the spirit of this age is the Antichrist, influenced by the Antichrist, influenced, let's call it what it is.
And the bottom line, Father, too, is submission. I mean, we have to, if we say we're Christians, what does that mean? That he is the way, the truth, and the life, and we have to submit. And that word has become a four-letter word in society, unfortunately. Oh, I wish we had another hour. Father Robert Spitzer, thank you so much. The book, part of the trilogy, the third one comes out in June, as he said, Christ versus Satan in Our Daily Lives, A Cosmic Struggle Between Good and Evil. Don't forget to catch Father on Father Spitzer's Universe with Doug Keck, and we'll be right back on a Monday, January 4th. Stay tuned.
Would you get on a plane that doesn't have a pilot? Investing in passive index mutual funds may present the same issue. The Ave Maria Mutual Funds are actively managed by seasoned investment professionals to help you meet your investment goals in a morally responsible way. Ave Maria funds are managed to conform to pro-life and pro-family values. Long-term investors could invest in the no-load Ave Maria Mutual Fund. You can learn more about the Ave Maria Mutual Funds at 866-AVE-MARIA or visit AveMariaFunds.com.
Hi, I'm Al Cresta. Over the last 50 years, we've had some of the greatest popes since the Reformation era. So why are things such a mess in American Catholicism? How do we analyze and confront the attacks we're facing? How do we identify wolves in sheep's clothing? How do we re-evangelize the baptized? Dr. Ralph Martin makes sense of a church in crisis and shows pathways forward. He'll make sense of a disordered world. Go to AveMariaRadio.net and you'll find it in our online bookstore.
The EWTN home video highlight for January is A Wolf in Sheep's Clothing 2, The Gender Agenda.
For two centuries, the ideologues of socialism or communism have used deceptive word jugglery to rebrand themselves as liberals or progressives.
Order your DVD at EWTNRC.com, 24 hours a day, 7 days a week, or call 1-800-854-6316.
This program is brought to you in part by Charity Mobile, a proud partner of Ave Maria Radio for over 15 years. Charity Mobile is the pro-life cell phone company and has sent nearly $2 million to thousands of pro-life charities. 4G LTE coverage is available nationwide, and 5% of your monthly plan price goes to your favorite pro-life charity. A video introduction is available at CharityMobile.com. Charity Mobile, everyday living, effortless giving. CharityMobile.com.
You're listening to an encore presentation of Catholic Connection with Teresa Tomeo.
Welcome back, and thanks for tuning in on this brand new year, 2021. Coming up tomorrow, someone else from EW Chen, the Miracle Hunter. And he's going to be on with us, and Michael will be with us, and it's going to be exciting. He has a new episode coming up. He'll tell us all about it. We'll talk about that tomorrow.
You've been listening to Catholic Connection with Teresa Tomeo. Catholic Connection is a co-production of Ave Maria Radio and EWTN Radio and carried across the EWTN Global Catholic Radio Network. Our producer is Andrew Kruchek. For copies of this program or for more information, visit AveMariaRadio.net. That's AveMariaRadio.net. Thanks for listening, and join us next time for another edition of Catholic Connection.